Welcome to Polycast for Tuesday, February 18th. I'm Elizabeth Dunbar, filling in for Mike Mulcahy for this daily look at Minnesota politics from NPR News. On today's edition, a bipartisan push to address robocalls. GOP lawmakers propose a metro crime fix, and northern Minnesota resort owners are asking for help from the state. Robocall relief is on the agenda at the Minnesota Capitol this year. Bills to target those unwanted phone calls have been filed in the House and Senate by Republican and Democratic lawmakers. The telecom industry says robocalls are an easy target, but a workable solution is harder to achieve. Brian Bax has more.
At two town halls he held over the weekend, first-term DFL Representative Zach Stevenson says his bill attempting to stymie ill-intentioned robocalls was a hit.
I would certainly hope that if there's anything that can unite us here at the Capitol, it's a hatred of robocalls.
First-term Republican Senator Rich Dreheim hears it from his constituents, too.
I think all of us are frustrated with the number of calls that we're getting that are spam.
Both lawmakers have introduced bills to lash back at illicit callers, either through increased penalties or by forcing carriers to cut off the calls before they reach your phone. Stevenson describes his proposal as, quote, the toughest robocall ban bill in the country because of what it demands of the telecommunications industry.
It requires all of the telecommunications companies in Minnesota to implement the latest and greatest anti-robocall technology at no additional cost to the consumer.
He says there's been an explosion of fraud occurring by robocall. Sometimes the scam calls originate in another country, but are made to look local on caller ID.
There's not a legitimate reason for someone in the Ukraine to be pretending to be in Fridley and calling you. We should just shut those calls off from the beginning, and then we won't have as nearly as many of these fraudulent calls.
Dreheim says the faraway origin certainly adds to the enforcement challenge.
Most of the calls are coming from overseas, but that doesn't mean here in Minnesota we can't do more to try to limit the number of robocalls. So if we increase the penalty for anybody that we do catch doing it in Minnesota, I think that'll help.
His bill would give the Attorney General more power to go after those behind illegal calls and seek penalties of up to $100,000. Minnesota law already limits the types of calls that can be placed without a live operator introducing them. The restrictions don't apply to schools and other entities if someone has had a prior relationship. Brent Christensen is president and CEO of the Minnesota Telecom Alliance. He says the latest state legislation is premature, given that new federal regulations have yet to fully kick in. He says telecom providers already do some call screening to identify suspected fraudulent or spam calls, with some calls being blocked altogether. But that filtering has its limits.
So we have to be very careful that we don't not send the right call through.
Christensen's members are 44 independent telephone companies around the state, who mostly deal in landlines. To a degree, they're at the mercy of other providers up the network who sort the calls first. Christensen concedes that public sentiment is with the other side.
On the surface, it's easy to say we don't like robocalls, but there are also good robocalls, you know, school districts notifying late starts and, you know, the red alerts that counties put out for, you know, storm warnings and things like that.
Stevenson's bill is tentatively set for its first hearing next week. Nothing has been scheduled yet for Dreheim's Senate version. Brian Baxt, NPR News, at the Capitol.
The group that represents physician assistants in Minnesota will be at the state capitol today lobbying for law changes that would streamline the process of bringing PAs into the health systems. Mark Zadeklik reports.
The Minnesota Academy of Physician Assistants says there are more than 3,000 PAs working in the state, caring for people in all kinds of ways. Leslie Meltier lobbies for the group and says PAs are not looking to change what they're allowed to do, but instead want the removal of what they say are unnecessary bureaucratic hurdles to practicing medicine.
Currently, we have paperwork in place that is a checkbox list of what a PA is allowed to do, and it doesn't really fully represent our full capacity. And so it's making it difficult for PAs to be hired and to do the work that we are capable of doing because the paperwork is creating limitations.
Meltier says making it easier for PAs to practice is in consumers' best interest because PAs can expand access to healthcare and help reduce healthcare costs. I'm Mark Zadeklik.
Republican state lawmakers from rural and suburban House districts are proposing ways to keep Minneapolis and St. Paul safer from crime. They announced a package of proposals yesterday aimed at addressing a recent spike in urban crime, including shootings and violence on light rail transit trains. Tim Pugmire reports.
Republican House Minority Leader Kurt Dowd lives in rural Isandy County, but he says his constituents and other Minnesotans travel to Minneapolis and St. Paul frequently for jobs, family gatherings, sporting events, and concerts. Dowd said they worry about their safety.
What we want people to know is that this is a priority. We want to make sure that people in Minnesota know that this legislature, and particularly Republicans in the legislature, are committed to keeping Minnesotans safe.
The House Republican plan includes higher penalties for gang members who use guns in crimes, a boost in funding for gang and drug efforts at the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, and a crackdown on light rail fare evasion. A bill sponsored by Republican Representative Lisa Damoth of Cold Spring would require cities to provide adequate law enforcement at sports and entertainment venues or risk losing state aid.
Minnesota taxpayers should be able to attend the venues that they have helped build and pay for without fearing for our safety.
Lieutenant Bob Kroll, the president of the Minneapolis Police Union, was on hand to support the Republican proposals.
I hope these bills will be the start of a conversation on how the legislature can support local law enforcement and, if needed, compel cities to prioritize resources to combat gang activity, violent crime, and crime on and around light rail platforms and stations.
Kurt Dowd accused city officials of being reluctant to put more police on the streets. He said it should be a higher budget priority for the cities. But Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, who listened to the Republican news conference, said Dowd and others are trying to spread misinformation. Frey noted that the latest city budget included $2.7 million to add a third class of police recruits.
To the extent that there are concerns about the way that Minneapolis does business, those lawmakers should actually give Minneapolis a call. Public safety should not be a partisan issue. The problem is the Republicans and the legislature are consistently making it one.
The Republicans don't have a majority of votes in the House to pass their bills. Frey said Minneapolis and other cities in Minnesota could do more if they received larger amounts of state aid. DFL State Senator Jeff Hayden of Minneapolis also took issue with the Republican crime message. Hayden said a legislative call for more cops is too simplistic.
What I wouldn't want to do is from on high start telling cities how they should run their police departments. I think that they have fantastic chiefs and really good mayors. And I think the city councils are starting to come around to know and to trust them to make sure that they're policing in the right way.
Last week, Metropolitan Council Chair Charlie Zelli announced several initiatives aimed at stopping criminal activity on Metro Transit buses and trains, including the addition of more police. House Democrats are considering a bill to lower the penalty for fare evasion and to establish a system of transit ambassadors for light rail. I'm Tim Pugmire, NPR News at the Capitol.
Youth sports referees would get more protection from fans, coaches, or athletes who turn hostile under a bill now before Minnesota lawmakers. The legislation would make it a gross misdemeanor to assault umpires, scorekeepers, or any other referees near an athletic event. A House bill was introduced last session, but DFL Senator Greg Clausen has added the Senate companion. The former suburban school administrator says passions sometimes get the best of people.
So many of these parents have invested in their kids. They go into traveling leagues financially and emotionally. It's such an investment that sometimes they get caught up in as a parent and how they view things versus maybe how a referee or a coach might see things in their child.
Clausen says the heightened penalties could deter bad behavior even if crimes under the law aren't charged that often. Other states are considering similar bills in response to violence against referees. Resorts and bait shops in northern Minnesota are looking to the legislature for help during the worst winter they've seen in years. Early snowstorms caused thin lake ice and slush, nearly shutting down the ice fishing season from Bemidji to Duluth. John Enger reports.
Lake Winnebogoshish is usually covered with ice houses this time of year. On a frigid morning last week, Rick Leonard drove his truck out onto the lake, squinting out the window at a nearly empty expanse of blowing snow.
Welcome to our frozen wasteland.
Rick and his wife Kim own High Banks Resort on the south shore of Winnie. Most years, Rick plows 20 miles of ice road and charges an access fee to the hundreds of anglers who use it. For 10 weeks, he's the caretaker of a small ice house city. This year, it's more of an outpost. just a few dozen ice houses clustered together, hunkered down in snowdrifts. His road is only 3 miles long, and every inch of it was hard won. The ice this year is 15 inches, a third its usual thickness, so Rick had to use a lighter plow. He snapped the front axle 6 times in all the slush and snow. By the time he got the ice road open late last week, there were only 2 weekends left in the heart of winter fishing season.
And some people in the cities would look at this and say, man, it's just beautiful up here. Look at all the snow. It's pretty. To me, this is hell froze over. I just see vast emptiness, and I see the money that we're spending trying to get these roads and the gamble we take whether people are coming or not.
He said a lot of anglers have already given up on Winnie, taken their houses to better ice about 2 hours north on Lake of the Woods. It's not just hurting the resorts. Kim said the bad ice has impacts on businesses you'd never think of, like the local porta-potty supplier, whose revenue is down 36% thanks to canceled fishing tournaments. Gas stations, tire shops, they're all getting hit. The Leonards call this season a natural disaster, an act of God, and they want the state to help the tourism industry get through it. Kim gathered a group of 40 business owners in her lodge late last month for a meeting with Senator Justin Eichhorn. They begged him for help.
We're not people to just sit back and wait for something to happen. But in conditions like what we've encountered this winter, we need something to rebound.
Eichhorn listened. He and Representative John Purcell are planning to introduce a bill this legislative session establishing a low-interest loan program for the impacted businesses. Purcell said he'll finish drafting the bill this week. He's hoping to set aside a few million dollars to help roughly 100 businesses from Beltrami to St. Louis counties. This isn't a budget year at the state capitol, so he said the bill will need strong support and maybe some strong persuasion to pass. The government often helps farmers during floods or drought, but funding resorts during a bad year might seem frivolous. Purcell doesn't think it is.
The number that I know is tourism in general is a $14 billion a year industry in Minnesota. That's a big number. We need to pay attention to that.
In order to qualify for the loan, business owners will have to prove they lost at least 10% of their income this season. For many, that won't be difficult. On a normal year, the Leonards make as much money in the 10-week winter walleye season as they do in 5 months of summer business. They've lost $150,000 so far this winter, about half their typical revenue. On nearby Bowstring Lake, Geiger's Trails End Resort wasn't able to plow ice roads at all. And with no anglers on the lake, owner Bill Charlton lost his entire winter earnings, roughly $75,000. He needs a third of that just to open his doors this spring, money he doesn't have. Bait shop owner Jack Shriver, just south on Leech Lake, has the same problem. He needs $10,000 to stock minnows in the spring, but sales this winter were almost non-existent. They're all hoping for state money, but even if it comes, it might be too late. Purcell says the funding wouldn't come through until well into the summer season, months after it's most needed. John Enger, NPR News, Lake Winnebogoshish.
More than a dozen House DFLers are promoting a package of measures they say would help everyday Minnesotans and government entities address climate change. The proposals they're calling can-do climate actions would help offset the cost of solar projects at schools and homes, support other energy efficiency measures, and put more electric vehicles on the roads. DFL Representative Patty Acomb of Minnetonka says it relies on about $190 million from a projected budget surplus that now stands above $1 billion.
I think it's a great opportunity for one-time costs, and the urgency, the need is there. So I think since it's just a portion of the surplus dollars, I think that's a perfect place for it.
Acomb and her allies say the proposal is built around incentives for taking action rather than on penalties for not doing so. A federal crackdown on vaping devices and flavors attractive to minors isn't stopping Minnesota lawmakers from proposing even tougher restrictions. Rochester Republican Senator Carla Nelson says she'll introduce a bill soon to outlaw additional kinds of nicotine that aren't covered by new federal rules.
We do not want to be caught flat-footed when some new delivery device comes out. It's not purposely defined in law as being illegal, but the kid-friendly flavors should be. And that's where we're going to focus, is on the flavors, the kid-friendly flavors.
The federal restrictions imposed last year forbid the sale of flavored cartridges. The ban didn't affect menthol cigarettes or flavored juices sold for open tank vaping devices. Nelson has put forward other bills that could give schools more money to teach students about the dangers of e-cigarettes and other technology that can get them hooked on nicotine. And that's today's Polycast, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics from NPR News. Thanks for tuning in.